Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome, Wake Up Hollywood. It's Eddie. Nikhil's not here. He is, I believe, he told me he's singing the national anthem for the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. I don't believe him, so I don't know where he's at, but he's not here. But so I have sitting in my co-host for this evening, co-host slash guest, Dustin Jacobs.
I'm the only person here besides you, Eddie. This is kind of interesting.
There, I gave you applause.
That was terrible. By the way, can I just cut in real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
A few weeks
it's
ago.
It's half your show.
I guess it is half my show. I guess it's mostly my show.
Yeah, it's all your show. It's about you.
There's no guest.
Well, you're co-hosting guest, so it's actually
So I'm asking myself questions.
It's two-thirds your show.
Oh, cool. Well, here's the deal. A few weeks ago,
yeah.
You asked me to come on here. And then I got the Damon treatment.
You did get the Matt Damon treatment. I'm so sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
And totally slipped my mind. Because we overbooked that night. And then, we had you in the
excuses.
Green room. Sorry
Nothing
about that.
But excuses.
You know what? That probably makes sense why Nikhil's not here, because he didn't want to.
This is twice now. I've come here a couple of times. This is the second time I've been on the show. The first time I was a legitimate guest.
Yeah.
You actually had a legitimate co-host. But it wasn't Nikhil. So
yeah.
Twice now I've been on this show. Both times Nikhil has not been here.
You know,
I'm wondering,
what?
Is he ducking me?
I think this is all Nikhil. I think Nikhil purposely extended, double booked that show and didn't show up.
It's not your fault.
No, it's not. I'm passing
Despite
the buck.
Our Facebook feud that would say otherwise.
I don't have full control of my Facebook account.
Oh, I'm sure you don't. So the wife's in charge of it? The kid,
yeah,
maybe?
Somebody. I don't handle my social media. That's how big I am.
Oh, really? You got a publicist?
I do. Well, yeah, kind of.
Wow.
Yeah,
look at you.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. For those of you who have been listening for, I don't know how long we've been on the show, Dustin was one of our old guests from
From
downtown. We used to do it at the other network.
From downtown.
Downtown.
I just got a text. Hold on a second. Let me give a shout out to Jose, who's listening.
Jose can call in if he wants.
Someone needs to call in.
818-602-4929.
Everyone call in and call Eddie terrible, because that's what he
please
is.
Please do.
He's a bad person.
Terrible. I'm so
He's terrible.
Terrible.
Jose basically texted me and said, get closer to the microphone. This is what I have to say to you, Jose. Go F yourself. Can you say that on radio?
Jose, you can actually say fuck you.
Okay. Well, go fuck yourself,
go
Jose.
Fuck you. It's the internet. There's no rules.
Sure.
So you're eating the microphone? Is that what Jose's saying?
No, Jose is saying I need to get closer to the
microphone. Oh, you're not close enough.
I mean, it looks like I'm right here. So.
You're supposed to be...
what are we doing?
Like a hand length
a
away.
Hand
Almost
length?
Like you're blowing a dude. Like,
oh,
that
okay.
Close.
Well, see, I wouldn't know anything about that, Eddie, but...
Well...
Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
That's radio.
Okay. Is that how you made it all the way up
That's
to the top floor?
I made it to free internet radio.
Does Nikhil know about this, or was he involved?
How do you think I got the gig?
I see. So he's off, and he's dodging me as per usual.
Yeah.
He's singing the national anthem.
At the Laker game. Like there's even a Laker game
anymore.
Wait a second.
So he's singing the national anthem at the LA Lakers game at Staples Center.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles losers.
Yeah, the Lakers. Oh, so bad. They did blow out the
losers.
They did blow out the Warriors the other
well,
night.
Well, when the Golden State Warriors are a little busy partying the night before because they don't care that they're playing the Lakers the next day, that's what happens.
They are super bored with their season right now.
Why wouldn't they be? They're obviously the best team potentially in the history of the National Basketball Association.
Yeah, they're so bored.
And they are breaking multiple records when it comes to the three ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? You like that NBA talk, don't you? What else you got over
there? Gangbang.
You like that one? That's a good one.
So you got all these sound effects. That's
God damn it!
There we go.
See, I don't know if that works yet, but maybe tonight the Lakers will lose just for Nikhil.
Maybe they will. He did have his... If you look on the Facebook page, I think he posted a picture of himself in his Kobe Bryant jersey. Offering to play, which probably would actually help the Lakers.
I don't think so.
It couldn't
Nothing
hurt them.
Can help this
it
team.
It couldn't hurt them.
They need to get in the top three to get that draft pick. And by top three, I mean the three worst teams in the league.
Well, they're close. They got 15 wins, if that?
Yeah,
like that?
They're in the top three right now. But the thing is, if they lose that top three spot, guess who gets it? Your boy, the Sixers. They get it. Johnny Loquasto will be very happy about that.
That's where number one picks go to die.
Yeah. Well, obviously, because they don't know what they're doing in Philadelphia, if you look at any of
the
teams.
Terrible. The 76ers is like one of the flagship franchises in the history of professional basketball. And it's just so sad that they've become what they've become.
Well, I mean, you know, they don't care about practice, man. Yeah, they don't care about practice up in Philadelphia.
Anyway, let's catch people up on what you do.
They don't care.
They do.
We like sports.
We have to do the guise of. We can talk sports in a second, but you're a USC film school graduate.
Yes, I have an MFA in film production.
Nice. I have one as well.
But, yes, you do.
You actually try to use yours.
Yeah, I attempt to. But hey, you know, didn't you get a degree at Yuck Yuck's Comedy Store or something?
I did at the Chuckle Hut.
At the Chuckle Hut. Is that like how do you get that? Was it the same thing you got to
you
get
just,
into the top four?
You just make no money for 20 years telling people jokes.
So you make no money for 20 years telling people jokes, and you basically do the same thing with this particular medium as you do
with
radio. Yeah,
I'm trying to do this with all the mediums. Just, I try to do everything for free. Everything. All my comedy is pro bono.
Well, I mean, you know, you put it out there. I've seen your website. You've got your jokes on there.
There's stuff on there, I guess. EddiePence.com, if anyone's listening.
Nice plug.
Thanks. But you were just recently, your newest endeavor was just recently featured on FunnyOrDie.com.
It was.
That's a huge thing.
It was kind of a thing for
me. That's huge.
It's
enormous.
I mean, I don't know how huge it is, but Godzilla is definitely big.
So tell, what's the premise of that? Explain to people what
it's
about.
You can go online right now and check it out. I don't know if it's still on the front page. It was a couple of weeks ago. It'll be featured, actually, speaking of which,
yes.
I'm going to plug this.
Plug it. Plug away.
On Easter Sunday, Godzilla will be a part of the Funny or Die YouTube page.
That's hilarious.
So,
because it's got like religious...
It's got religious overtones. Political overtones, tax overtones, a lot of things. But basically, it's like this. These two missionaries show up at this atheist lady's house. They try to convert her to what she thinks is, you know, being a Mormon. And ultimately, she finds out that these two individuals worship Godzilla. And that's the premise of the bit. And people thought it was funny. Obviously, they thought it was funny enough to put it online.
It's a funny idea. It was pulled off well. You guys, you pulled in a lot of favors to get that special effects work done.
You need an intern in here because we need to find out like exactly where to click and find it.
I'll find it right now.
You do that.
I'm also the intern.
We need to tell the people where it is. I'm sure most of the people that are listening already know where it is.
I'm also the unpaid intern. I'm the unpaid host / unpaid intern.
/ everything.
Funny or Die.
Well, while you're looking that up, I can basically say that not much has changed since the last time I was on this show, which is kind of pathetic.
True. Nikhil's not here.
Well, you know, it's true. So that was, episode 5?
Was it episode 5?
It was episode
5. How do you remember that?
Because I am a narcissist.
Jesus.
And I check out everything that I do.
Wow.
So episode 5 of this show, which was back when it was in downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah, long time ago.
Right next to that Macy's down there. I think it was off of Grand, yes?
Let's not talk about that. It was
okay.
So terrible.
Well, now we're in Sherman Oaks, which, by the way, the traffic getting up here was outstanding.
It is outstanding. It's my favorite part. It's my favorite part coming to do the show is sitting in the traffic.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't it be? You get to do a lot of things in the car on the phone while you're coming over, and then hopefully no one hits you in the process. Which was a difficult thing to sort of meander and get through.
I'm on the Funny or Die page.
Sure.
It doesn't
look
like
up 34th Street Comedy. That could help. Or 34th Street Pictures. That could also help.
What's 34th Street? Is that your production
company?
That's
my production company. That's what I do.
There it is. God-Zilla.
Yeah. And I mean, sure. You should check that out. Maybe Eddie will put it up on some fan page for this show.
Well, check it out. Go to funnyordie.com and type in 34th Street Productions, right?
It's 34th Street Pictures or 34th Street Comedy, either one.
34th Street Prime. You got four videos up here, right?
Yeah, there's four of them. One of which I've already discussed, which was on the front page.
And then there's a pussy.
Well, there's that, which is basically a Snickers ad. That,
very funny. That was a good one, too.
It's not so much about candy, but more
about the whole premise of, like, you're not acting like yourself?
If you have blue balls,
yeah.
Maybe grab yourself some badge.
But that's, you know, it's a good commercial spoof. You have your dog shit one about the robot dog.
Yeah, well, now you just spoiler.
Well, I did give away.
Spoiler alert! Now they don't have to watch.
I gave away the end. But
yeah,
it's good.
Good.
It's well
job.
Done. Well shot.
Good. I'm in that Whitney Grease, who I asked to be on the show tonight. It's just another...
Whitney, I ran into her the other day. Or not the other day. A few weeks ago. Maybe it was a couple months ago. I don't know when it was. Anyway, Lions and Zion. That's another one you did.
Yeah, that was
about
recent.
The Detroit Lions.
I released that around the Super Bowl. in hopes that it would get some traction. It did not. And I'm guessing it's because it has something to do with the Detroit Lions.
Probably.
The fan base, I don't think, really
Who's
likes
Who's your buddy
it
in there?
That's Jay Rowe.
He's a Detroit Lions fan.
He is a
He's
going to
be in
Detroit
serious
Lions.
Mourning today.
Well, Calvin Johnson retired. Yeah. But, I mean, it's funny because when I released it, Calvin had said he was going to retire the day before. So I thought, well, that's even better. Like, the Super Bowl's coming up. It's about the Lions never having gone to the Super Bowl and probably never will go to the Super Bowl. Calvin Johnson's just retired. There's all this media buzz around football right now. And then Kerplunk, nothing.
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 It's so hard and so weird to try to figure out what sticks on the internet.
Universal stuff. I mean, Godzilla is something that everyone knows about.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions, it's American football. It's not soccer. I'm sure if it was soccer-related, probably would get more hits because that's the most popular sport in the world.
Yeah.
But American football is obviously the most popular sport here,
yeah.
And the Detroit Lions aren't exactly the best franchise.
So you've featured yourself in, what, two of your four videos?
Yes, I act in a couple of things. I'm technically in...
You're in Pussy, too, right?
I'm in Pussy, too, but I don't really have any lines. I'm playing a game over in the corner.
Do you want to do that with your movies? Do you want to be in them, or you just sort of do it because...
I mean, this is sketch stuff, you know?
Yeah.
This is like you're just hanging out with your buddies and having fun.
Right.
I don't see myself going to auditions or, you know, doing that rap.
But will
race.
You always try to throw yourself in a film that you're making? If you ever get the chance to become a feature film director...
I'm not Hitchcock. Like,
not,
that's drastic.
You're not going to Tarantino yourself?
I'm not going to Tarantino myself or Hitchcock myself. I don't enjoy directing myself. When I was in Godzilla, that was fun because it was something I was playing off of Jay, who's also in it, and we had a great time doing it.
And you look Mormon.
Well, I don't know if I'm about that at all, really. I don't have the complexion for it. But I think that we pulled that off really well. Dog shit was sort of a whirlwind because we're shooting in a park that we didn't have permission to shoot in. So as a producer, I'm worried about getting shut down.
Yeah, you got a ton. I mean, I did that when I was going through film school. That's when I kind of cut the acting bug thing I did because I was putting myself in all my films.
Yeah. So we're both narcissists. That's
we are extreme narcissists.
Good. I'm glad that
you
we
have
brought
to
up in this
to
place.
Try to be in this business at all. You have to be.
You have to have a certain
amount
of ego. And I think that to be a successful actor, you have to have a certain amount of not just narcissism, but psychosis.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, as a comedian, I think a director, I think as an actor, I think those three things, especially in this business, you have to be going, okay, I can do it better than that guy.
Sure. I mean, I think comics are definitely like that.
Well, yeah,
as far as directors are concerned, I think that there's sort of – here's what I've noticed. You know, I've got friends that are obviously doing comedy. Okay, and I enjoy doing the sketch stuff. I'm like the Will Ferrell sort of deal. I wouldn't do stand-up probably because I what I've seen from people.
Well, that's a different beast completely.
Yeah, completely. And you have to sort of captivate people based on just you talking about whatever the fuck you want to talk about versus you're putting together a script and you're sort of playing it out.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, improv's kind of the same thing even though you're making it up as you go along. But just seeing how, you know, my friends have gone through it, just seeing how what your process is, it's definitely – it's a tough thing, and it seems like it's kind of negative. It's kind of negative when you're sitting in the green room with other comics and there's kind of this competition going on versus the film community where I think, you know, if you're in that room
– Well, the film thing is – it's a collaborative work.
Sure. I mean, but at the same point in time, it's like in football, the quarterback gets all the glory and all the blame.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's really his fault or not. All the glory and all the blame goes to the head coach, the quarterback. So in this particular instance, all the glory goes to the director, whether or not it's deserved or not. And I think that if you're in that knit circle of elite filmmakers, I don't think they're really trying to one-up each other so much as trying to say, hey, look what I can do. What can you do?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of respect. Whereas in comedy, I think there's a lot of neuroses. And
some.
A lot of psychological issues, again, going to the acting thing, but that's a little different, where I think that there's this competitive nature of, well, that was funny. How can I top this?
There's some of that. I try to tune most of that stuff out. I know when I go up, I try to tune most of the stuff out. And like most of my friends that I hang out with and I'm doing comedy, there's not like a lot of like – if there is any sort of competition, it's sort of like almost like a playful – like almost sort of like a – not a one-upsmanship, but it's not. It doesn't seem to be like a mean competitiveness. I mean, there is some of that. There is some of that in the business because there's some comics that downright hate each other, and you know, but there's,
spill the beans.
Well, I don't know. But as far as me and like my friends and the comics I hang out with, it's not like, I mean, we all try to go up and you try to kill them. Like, I don't want the guy before me to suck, and I don't want the guy after me to suck. You know, I want the guy before me to do really well so I can go up and piggyback off that. And I want, you know.
Well, I mean, it helps if there's alcohol involved. And I mean, obviously, the crowd's loose at that point. And that's what I feel sorry for. Like, I've been to these shows, especially the early shows, and you see these comics go on first, and the crowd hasn't been lubricated enough yet.
Oh, I just did the San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival this past week, and I did a 5 o'clock show at a bar. I hosted it, the 5 o'clock show. It was still daylight out, and there was no one bringing me up. I just had to go up in front of the cold room and get the show started and then host it. It was.
So you were hosting the show?
Yeah, I was hosting a show, but there wasn't even like a guy to come in and go, hey, here's your MC for the night, and play music as I walked on stage. It was sort of dead silence.
So it's like Hitchcock Presents, basically.
Yeah. I walked on, you hear the footsteps, I walk on stage, I have to do a microphone check, and then say, hey, everybody, welcome to the show. I mean, it was just, I've been doing comedy 18 years, and that is like, that's about as tough of a room as you can get. Like 5 o'clock, dry.
Real dry.
Daylight out.
No lubrication.
No introduction whatsoever. That's about as difficult as it gets.
That sounds like it was a great show then.
It was awesome.
So how did it go this weekend?
It was fun. I had some great shows. I did 4 shows up there. Other than that 5 o'clock show, the other shows were fun. Great time. Even the 5 o'clock show people there were still had a good time.
Cool. So you closed out. I saw the list. You were the last man standing.
Oh, and that, yeah, one of those shows. Yeah, I was.
You're the headliner?
Yeah, well, I guess. I mean,
the main event?
In that type of
effing show?
The whole effing show. In that type of thing, it's like you're just going last. You're not really headlining.
Okay.
You're just going. You're the last guy up. But
somebody drew the short straw.
So
sorry, Eddie. You're going on last.
That's pretty much what it is. And, yeah.
Cool. So you got any other shows coming up, Eddie?
I'm going to be
part of the show where I plug you, even though we're not halfway through.
Thanks for hosting me.
How often does that happen? No one really comes in here and talks to Eddie Pence.
No, I have to try to talk to them. And it's usually Nikhil doing all the talking. I'm just saying smart-ass comments.
And Nikhil laughing, too.
And Nikhil laughing and doing his dumb sound effects.
But that's not happening right now.
That's not happening right now. He's doing dumb sound effects at the Staples Center. No, tomorrow, if you're listening live, tomorrow I'll be on the Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Talking about, last year I won the April Foolishness Contest to open up their big stand-up show they do once a year at the Shrine Auditorium. I think all the proceeds go to Cedar Sinai, something like that. And it was like 6,000 people. It was an amazing show. And I got to do that. That was kind of cool. So they invited me back to talk about it on air.
Cool.
So we'll see what happens.
Cool. Hopefully they put you back on the show.
I was hoping I'd be back on this year, but they have a lot of people they try to get on. They've tried to rotate out every year, not to have the same type of show. So hopefully one of these years I'll be on as a regular.
I think you should comic. Be. This is your. You know,
I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, this is you begging, basically.
And this is pretty much me begging.
This is you begging to be on the show, even though they're not listening, no, and probably no one else is listening either.
I doubt it, because no one's called in.
You offered the number. Offer it again. If anyone has the cojones.
Yeah, the bells.
To call us, we'll talk about whatever you want.
818-602-4929. Call in. We'll talk about sports.
We'll
politics,
talk about
whatever
anything.
You want to talk about.
You want to talk about politics? You brought it up.
Oh God! Well, we're both kind of on the same side of that fence, so I don't.
Well,
know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I can play jackass for a minute.
Well, we could all play jackass. I don't know. I don't know what to think about what's happening this year. I do know what to think about. It's kind of scary. What's going on?
Well, I mean, you see a lot of frustrated people and a lot of ignorant people that are crawling out of rocks because the TV is telling them to vote for them.
I just hate anyone. I hate when people do things out of anger.
Welcome to America.
I know.
In the recession.
But
era.
It's just like when you do things out of anger, that's when huge mistakes are made.
Sure. And then you'll pay for them and then you'll realize the error of your ways. And that's history. If you don't know it, you're doomed to repeat.
Like I think when Obama got elected in 2008, I don't think he was voted into office out of anger. I think it was more of like,
well, it's hope.
It was a hope thing. They ran on hope. That was a positive.
It's a positive vibe. You're coming off of a massive recession.
Yeah. There was so much negative stuff happening at that point.
You're coming off of Bush and his inability to run the country in a proper manner.
Yeah, and I don't think Obama wasn't voted in out of anger. I think he was voted in like, let's see, this sounds good. Let's try to go with this.
Yes.
But now it just seems like people are voting out of anger. on both sides. And I just, it just, that's
well,
scary.
Well, it's funny. Let's talk about the dynamics then. Because on one side of the fence, you have Donald Trump, who is, you know, painting the floor with his competitors' blood at the moment.
Yeah.
All he's done is just lambasted them, played the part of the bully.
Yeah.
And really turned the GOP on its head to the point where Mitt Romney has come out recently and more or less said, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. I heard a rumor. I don't know if that's true. Did he file papers to run?
What I have heard, and I don't know this for a fact. What I have heard is that all of his accounts that were to go towards a campaign are no longer frozen. So where there's smoke, there's fire, but there's been no, you know, stepping into the arena yet.
It'll be an interesting convention for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's what I thought from day one. And let's talk about, and I'll talk about that in a second, but let's talk about the Democratic side of things. And this is very interesting to me because it's really just two people, and it's only really been two people since the beginning. It's Bernie Sanders, who is promising you a golden goose that he probably would never in a million years be able
to. Well, even if he wants to do that, Congress isn't going to let him do any of that.
Exactly, exactly. And then there's the actual lifelong politician who might know a thing or two. And yes, there's baggage that comes
with
it.
There's a lot of baggage, but if anyone can probably get in there and work things, it's probably her just because she is from there and she knows how to cut deals and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Which is what politics is, unfortunately.
I mean, just look at it. Unfortunately, here's the deal. You look at, I mean, you brought it up. It's American politics. And of all the people in the field, the best I can see, there's only really one politician.
Yeah.
Only really one politician, and it's Hillary Clinton.
Hillary.
Everybody else is sort of pretending
to be a
politician.
I would like to see Bernie because I would just like to see what would happen, what he could do in there or to try to get some of it. But I don't know how electable he is in the general election, and I don't know what he could actually accomplish once he's in.
When you start a campaign of, I want socialism on every level.
Yeah.
And you take that to the general populace in a country that has never elected an openly social president.
Yeah.
Socialist president, I should say. Then that's, I mean, there's no way he can win.
It just seems so difficult.
There's no way. Which, here's what I think is going to happen. This is a crazy prediction, and I don't know if it really will happen, but this is what I think might happen. The GOP doesn't want Trump. They haven't wanted him from day one.
Yeah.
And now they're actually, you know, full sail ahead trying to stop it, even though they should have done this from day one.
Yeah.
I honestly think Trump, no matter what the polls say, no matter what the caucuses, their results have been, I think ultimately Donald Trump will not get it. I think he'll have to run as an independent, and I think he'll probably have to either face Rubio or Cruz.
See, I think what is scary to me is I think it's going to get to the point where the entire GOP falls in line behind him because they go, okay, well, we know we can get the White House with him. We'll put up with 4 years of him.
And then try to replace him.
And then try to replace him in 4 years just to try to get so they have control of Congress and the White House. So that they feel, I think they feel like just to get a Republican victory, I think they might all fall in line behind him just to do that.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with that thought process. The Republicans have always been very one-minded.
Yeah.
So I could totally see them.
Like,
getting
it's not
the
for the betterment of the country; it's for the betterment of their party,
and they will
fall behind whoever they have to fall behind to get that party forward.
But here's the problem: Donald Trump doesn't fall behind or in line of any lobbyist. And the GOP most assuredly does.
Yeah.
So if you – basically, this is what it is right now. This is the log line from The Dark Knight, okay? Basically,
we get the president
the gangsters, the gangsters are the GOP, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Joker is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So you've unleashed the Joker on Gotham. Guess what happens? The only question is who's going to play the part of Batman and who's going to play the part of Two-Face.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty obvious in this equation who those two characters are.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton is Harvey Dent and Bernie Sanders is Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of crazy how that's basically turned into the case, but that's what we're looking at.
It's turned into the Dark Knight Rises.
It's the Dark Knight is what it is. It's nuts. It's absolutely insane.
It's such a weird time of politics. I can't believe it's gotten to this point, but it really has.
Yeah. It's crazy. So who are you voting for, Eddie? Are you voting? Are you sitting on your fingers?
Well, one, we live in California, so I don't know how much our vote actually matters.
Well, you got to...
California.
Look at it this way. There was a guy once upon a time that was the governor of the state, and he went on to become president.
Yeah.
I believe you know who he is.
Yes.
Okay. And everyone says that he's the greatest president of all time if you're on one side of the fence. Yeah. And his name is Ronald
Until
Reagan.
You actually look back at his policies and they don't match up with anything from your party today.
No, it does not. But Reagan is considered a demigod of the GOP. So
until again, you actually read what he did and how he governed.
Sure. Don't you think
has nothing to do with the GOP today?
Don't you think that Trump is kind of falling in line with the celebrityism and the star fuckerism that maybe Ronald Reagan was benefiting from?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I don't think any other political candidate came out and started behaving the way he has behaved wouldn't have the traction he's got. He would have been silenced a long time ago.
Sure.
I think it's because of Trump and his celebrity and because of his ego that he's able to just...
I think that's what it is.
Just be able to just brush stuff off.
I think it's his absolute 110% confidence in himself.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no denying that he is arrogant.
But that's scary. I mean, that's so scary to me to see someone up there talking like that. Not even what he's saying, but just to have that large of an ego to the point where when people do attack you, you take it personally.
Sure.
You can't take a step back and go, okay.
That's the problem.
That's the problem with me. Whatever crap comes out of his mouth is... First of all, I don't think Trump believes half the stuff he says anyway.
I don't think he does either.
It's not like Ted Cruz who believes what he's saying.
Yes.
And if you ask me, Ted Cruz is far scarier than Donald Trump.
I agree with you on one count. He would want to make the United States Iran.
Yeah. He wants
and
to make it theocracy.
Donald Trump wants to make it the Third Reich.
Trumpovania? Trumpovania? Anybody? But yeah, Cruz believes exactly every word that comes out of his mouth. He wants to make it a theocracy.
Yeah.
Trump just wants to be Supreme Chancellor.
Yeah.
Because of
much.
Ego.
Pretty much.
I don't think he believes half the stuff's coming out of his mouth, and he knows half the stuff's coming out of his mouth he's not going to be able to do anyway. He's just saying whatever it's going to take to get him into power.
Yep. And I wonder who is running his campaign. Is Donald Trump running his own campaign?
He is.
There's no one else behind the scenes.
There's
like,
no
just
way.
Say crazy shit, it'll work.
There's no way he takes.
Which, by the way, he's
anybody.
Already been flip-flopping on certain things.
Of course he has. And it's going to get worse. He's going to say whatever he has to say in that moment to get a rise out of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it backfires, he doesn't care. Because like, that's how big his ego is. He doesn't care what he said before. And that's what makes him like kind of scary when he get if we elected someone like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So for all of you that are listening, remember that Eddie Pence says a vote for Trump is a vote for the horror that awaits you.
It's a vote for Emperor Palpatine.
Speaking of which, I think I see your wallet over there. What exactly is that?
It's a Boba Fett wallet.
Yeah, of course. How old are you? Just asking.
I'm old.
Your back?
I threw my back out today. I was actually on the floor for 2 hours. I couldn't move. My back hurt so bad. My leather jacket's actually Han Solo's leather jacket from Episode 7.
You are, I mean, you're like hardcore fanboy, huh? Hardcore fanboy, man. That's great.
Yeah, big time.
I'm waiting for you to purchase the CM Punk UFC merchandise.
No, I'm waiting for him to come back to WWE.
That's not going to happen.
I know it's not. I can dream.
Retired.
I just can't watch UFC. I don't get it. I just can't get into it.
Well, I mean, it's not worth paying $60 for something that'll last 5 seconds.
Yeah, to actually see human beings just get into a cage and try to pummel the crap out of each other isn't appealing to me.
I mean, I'm with you. I mean, it's kind of like what Vince has said about it, barbarianism. But you know, at the same point in time, it's a very hot ticket. A lot of people want
to
watch it.
Not appealing to me. Like I never got really into boxing for that same reason. Like these are two human beings with no other goal than to beat the crap out of the person in front of them.
Yeah, and they're that desperate in the socioeconomic ring.
Yeah.
That they are willing to do that.
Like, I know it's violent. I mean, I know football's violent, but to me, there's other goals in football other than just beating the crap out of the person in front of you. There's a strategy. I mean, there's just like and professional wrestling, which we're both fans of, there's storytelling and
That's the thing.
There's
it's
acting and there's performance and there's showmanship.
The storytelling aspect of the wrestling is ultimately why anyone should watch it.
Yeah.
Let's face facts. I mean, not everybody that steps into the squared circle is good at what they do.
No, not at all. But it's that element of showmanship. And then sometimes when you think you did see something real happen, that's when it gets really good. But like,
of course it is. That's why you love CM Punk. That's why most people love CM Punk.
Because he gives you that. He gave you that. And there's no one, I mean.
And why so many people like Daniel Bryan is because he's a reflection of reality and not so much what Vince had created.
He's not a cartoon character. Yeah, he's not a comic book hero.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, to a certain extent, that's why you like watching Brock Lesnar, because you believe that guy that guy.
Well, I truly believe that Brock could literally kill anyone in the building. And I mean, so when he beats people up, literally and figuratively, you believe it.
Like, I would hate to fake fight Brock Lesnar. That would be the worst. I would much rather real fight Brock Lesnar because I could run away from him. But if you have to fake fight him, you have to go through that match and take everything he dishes out.
And it'll be stiff, and you'll probably get busted in the face like Cena has.
Ugh.
And
everyone who's ever wrestled with him.
Well, sure. Yeah.
he's brutal, man.
He's stiff, and he's a monster. And
but
he
like
that,
you like seeing that because there is that element of realism. But it's like with UFC, it's just like – too real. It's just too animal-like. It's just too...
So you didn't watch the UFC this past
Honestly,
Saturday.
I haven't watched... I think... I used to watch, like, UFC 1, 2, like, back when the Gracies would win every time, and all they do is hold you on the mat for half an hour.
Oh, okay.
Until the guy just got so bored he would tap out. Like, that's the UFC I used to watch. And that was boring as crap. And then they changed the rules where it's become more of a striking sport than a mat wrestling sport.
Yeah, you get the knees and you get the elbows.
Yeah, back then, Royce Gracie would just grab you and then you're done because he wouldn't get off of you for an hour. Then you all of a sudden you'd be in an arm lock and you'd tap out.
Sure.
And that was boring as hell, and it didn't take off until they changed the rules to where you could...
And now you have to pay $60 to watch Ronda Rousey kill someone in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, she obviously didn't kill anyone the last time she stepped into the
octagon. No, but we're not going to see that rematch either.
I think we will. I think it's going to happen because I think it'll still make money.
I think Rousey wins the title back from What's-Her-Face, and then they have the rematch.
Yeah. I mean, that's already booked.
Yeah.
Her next fight...
Dana White wants, anyway.
She doesn't want to fight, though, until November. Like, it's going to be...
That's a long way away.
Yeah. It's going to be a while. She wants to take that time to train...
Yeah.
Well, and also get her movies finished because apparently she's doing a couple.
Well, you don't want to take punches in the face forever.
No, of course not. And I mean, she's trying to branch out and fix her brand. I understand that. Same point in time. I mean, she's coming off her only defeat, and it was bad. It wasn't like, oh, it was a technicality on a judge's decision. This was no, you got your ass.
Well, she fought the wrong style.
Yeah. Well, she tried to box.
Box a boxer and got her ass beat.
Exactly. And I mean, she's already beaten Misha a couple of times. Yeah. She'll probably do it a third time.
Yeah.
And then she'll probably put
Palm in a
lock and make her tap.
Yeah, which is what she should have done the first time.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to box a box.
Live and learn, Eddie. You know all about that. How old are you again?
Old.
Yeah. How's your back?
Old. My back is old.
Your back is old. So let's talk about wrestling then, since we talked about UFC.
Well, okay, Mania's coming up.
Yeah, man.
Mania's coming up. What do you think?
What do I think about the card? I don't think it's...
There's got to be a swerve coming in some shape
I don't think it's finished. I don't think it's finished at all. I don't think that the Undertaker and Shane situation is in stone.
No.
I don't think it's written in stone. I don't see how Taker can come out of this looking good. I really don't. Because if he loses to Shane, seriously...
He can't lose to Shane.
And if he beats Shane, it's like, well, yeah. And now we don't get Shane to run Raw?
I just don't understand because are you going to give Taker two losses at WrestleMania just to forward a storyline that's only going to last a couple months after WrestleMania?
I mean,
at least when they gave Taker his first loss, that was to push Brock for the next year and a half.
Well, the reason that, let's face it, it's politics. Everything's politics. The reason that Brock got that push was so he would resign.
Yeah.
Have you noticed since he beat Undertaker streak, since he killed Cena to win the titles, since he main evented WrestleMania a year ago?
Yeah.
What's been happening to him since?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. You want to know why? Because he signed on the dotted line.
But the thing is, at least that loss by Undertaker served a purpose. Just for a storyline purpose to have Shane run Raw, you could do that any other way. You could do that a million different ways.
Sure.
You don't have to give Undertaker a second loss at WrestleMania to do that.
No. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, Undertaker, it's a no-win situation for him.
Yeah.
Because if he beats Shane, it's like, well, yeah, of course he did, and now the fans are disappointed. And if he loses to Shane, the believability factor is not there, and it makes Undertaker look weak.
I think if they just do a straight-up – I think he does beat Shane, but I think Shane gives one a ridiculous match. Shane's going to give a ridiculous match.
Still the show?
Yeah. I think he will.
Kill himself.
I think he absolutely will kill himself. I think he did before. He did 10 years ago.
And then we have the show. I mean, we're on the road to WrestleMania, but we have the show on Saturday, which is a WWE Network show. It's a double main event. We have Lesnar facing off with Bray Wyatt, and we have the other main event being for the title, and Ambrose
and Triple H.
And they keep teasing the fans with Ambrose and the title. And I honestly wonder, given what you have right now, because right now at Mania, these are your matches. We've already mentioned one of them, which is Shane and Taker. The other two are as follows. One is Lesnar versus Ambrose in a street fight, which they haven't really promoted since the night after the last pay-per-view. And then you have the match that no one wants to see, which is Triple H versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Because no one cares about Roman Reigns.
Yeah. People cheered for Triple H destroying his face.
So how do you fix that problem? You know that no one is buying into Reigns, and they haven't bought into him, even though you've shoved him down everybody's throat. How do you fix that problem? Because I can tell you this, I think more people would rather see a rematch from a year ago than they would rather see Triple H just hand the belt to Roman.
Yeah.
So here's my theory. I think this is going to happen. I don't know if it will, but I think it will. I think this Saturday, Trips loses to Dean. And then it becomes a fatal four-way match.
Between Brock,
Ambrose, Triple H, and Roman Reigns. That would make people very happy because Dean gets his moment in the sun as champion. And then you can hand the belt to Reigns, and it won't be as shitty as, he just beat Triple H.
I think he gets booed even more because he will be the least popular man. Instead of just being the least popular out of two people in the ring, he's going to be the least popular out of four people
in the
ring.
Well, of course he will be. I mean,
is that where The Rock comes in? The Rock has to have something to do.
I think The Rock shows up. At this Mania. And I think, here's another thing. I think that it's not only a fatal four-way match. I think Shawn Michaels is a special guest referee. And I think it makes people think, well, every time Shawn's involved, Triple H wins. So how do you equalize that?
Except the against Rock. Undertaker three WrestleManias.
Well, I know. Which is totally swept under the rug and forgotten because it didn't lead to anything.
Yeah.
But the deal is, if you have that scenario, then people will keep guessing, well, how is this going to finish?
Yeah.
Reigns hasn't been around. Ambrose is the guy. Everybody loves him. He's the champion going into the main event at the show of shows. That should make people happy enough.
I think it'll energize the fans more for WrestleMania
than
the main event.
And that's all you care about. All you care about is putting the asses in the seats at that huge stadium, 100,000 people, which would be the biggest indoor event in the history of that company. How do you do that? By making sure that people want to go. It doesn't matter what the finish is. All that matters is that you have the buy rate and you have the people in the seats.
Yeah. Well, they don't even need the buy rate anymore because of the network. They don't care about the buy rate.
Sure.
They just want to get the people in the seats.
Sure. I mean, pay-per-view is kind of...
That's why they can do whatever. They can do whatever at the end. It doesn't matter what the finish is. They'll just do whatever they want to, and then on Raw, they'll do what...
I just think that it makes the most sense because ultimately the most popular guy in the company right now, due to all the injuries, due to Daniel Bryan retiring, due to CM Punk leaving...
Do you turn Reigns heel?
I think that's a good idea.
I think you have to make him heel.
I think that's a great idea. I think that Roman Reigns realizes that he can't win
unless he
has the authority on his side. So he joins Triple H and wins the belt that way, but by beating his friend and getting the title.
I think that's very successful. It's the only way. I hope McMahon realizes it's the only way to make Reigns a face is to turn him heel.
Sure. And I think that he's been so busy trying to find a John Cena replacement.
But Cena could weather the people booing him and still be the face of the company because
he's the golden goose.
He's so good on the mic. He can handle it on the mic. Reigns can't handle the mic.
No, he can't.
To do that, he can't weather.
He doesn't look like a baby face.
No.
He can't talk. He looks like a thug. Yeah. That's what he looks like. He looks like a guy that's going to come in there and
punch
you out.
He's the heavy. He looks like the heavy. Yeah. And that's what he was in the Shield, and that's why he was popular in the Shield because they didn't talk and he just beat people up.
Dean was the personality. Rollins was the worker,
and
Reigns was the lug, So that's why that worked.
Wouldn't it be great if Rollins was healthy enough to come back? And
I think that would be another thing. Maybe he gets involved in the main event and somehow helps Ambrose win, which would be nuts, but I don't think that's going to happen either. I don't think he's well enough.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's going to happen. But I like the idea of a fatal four-way match a hell of a lot more than I like.
But then how do you fill out the rest of that card? At WrestleMania.
You figure it out. I mean, does it matter? There's no one left. It's depleted.
But WrestleMania is always like almost a four-hour show.
Well, I don't think you have the roster size to pull that
off.
That's
what I'm saying.
I think that's why they're pulling from NXT right now. I don't know if you've noticed what happened on Raw this past week.
Well, they had to because the injuries. They have to pull from NXT.
Exactly. And, I mean, you saw the show this past Monday. You saw Zayn show up
and
fight KO, So, I mean, they're already pulling from NXT kids to try to make this show
bigger.
But if
you take
bigger.
Brock and Ambrose out of their street fight, that's like a 25-minute chunk of WrestleMania you're pulling away.
You could give
that's
them,
almost half. That's almost a half of a half an hour.
I think you if you booked it the right way, I think that the main event could be 45 minutes long. And how do you do that? That's the question you got to ask yourself. You got four guys that are brutes, and you got Dean.
But you got two part-timers. Can they go 45 minutes?
I think what you have to do is you have to look at Brock and do the same thing you did at
Lay there.
Beat him up.
Leave him lay there until the end.
Let him lie there. Same they did with Reigns. That's why they said Roman is sleeping.
You know, Ambrose is the only one that can work 45 minutes,
I
think.
Yeah. I think him and Trips can go, and I think that him and Roman could potentially go. Brock can only do so much.
Yeah. I don't think Reigns can go 45 minutes. I would be
What if it's a fatal four-way that's also a street fight?
Yeah.
At which point it becomes just violence for 45 minutes.
And all over the place.
And then you could easily do that.
You go all over the place with the two, which easily takes time.
Which makes sense when you think about the previous match being in a cage.
Yeah.
The final match would be all over the arena. All over this 100,000-seat arena.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
I mean, I think it as it is right now, there's not enough juice.
No, there's not.
There's not enough juice.
There's not. There wasn't. Actually, there really wasn't. I mean, there was some last year, but that's because Lesnar had the title. You know, and then the year before, they didn't have until they put Daniel Bryan in the main event. Batista versus Randy Orton.
Except there's no Randy Orton. Daniel no Bryan in the wings that you can throw
there's
in there.
There's no one that popular. Even Ambrose isn't as popular as Daniel Bryan.
No, absolutely not. But he's the most popular guy in the company right now. I mean, that's just.
They have to look at him as the top face. Behind the curtain, they have to look at him as the top face.
Well, he has to be. I mean, who else is it?
It can't be Reigns.
It's not Cena. Cena's not around.
That's what I'm saying. It can't be Reigns, even though they book him as the top face.
Yeah, it can't
be
Reigns.
He's not.
No. Without question, he's not. I don't know. They'll figure it out, I hope. I mean, I say that, but it's been like a year and a half of them.
But they can't. They can't
really
just
have, pushing Roman.
They can't just be Reigns, Triple H. It can't be.
If it is, I don't think it's going to sell. I really don't. Because I don't think no one – they put him on the shelf because they realize that the fan bases of these particular arenas that they're going to –
They're booing
again,
him.
They would – kill him.
Yeah.
They would just boo the hell out of him the whole time. That's not what you need leading into.
So doesn't that tell you you're booking your product wrong? Doesn't that just scream to you like
apparently you're not, Vince McMahon is that out of touch, which is why they're doing the Shane McMahon angle. It's to make the smark shut up.
That's the only match that has anyone excited is just to see Shane wrestle again.
Isn't that sad? Isn't that stupid?
WrestleMania 31, the biggest indoor
32,
the biggest indoor arena.
Yeah. And Shane McMahon, who's not really a wrestler.
Who was never really a wrestler, who's wrestled a handful of matches in his whole life.
Who's kind of a spot guy who does these stunts.
Who's come back after 8 years out, is now the biggest
Biggest draw on the show. Because there's a slight chance that Vince McMahon won't be running things.
How bad does that tell you your booking process and the development of your talent is?
I think your product is terrible. So let's get out of wrestling because we don't have a lot of time. We could talk forever about that.
I know. It's easier than politics.
Anybody want to call in? Anybody? Last chance.
Last chance, guys. Come on.
Last chance. What's the phone number?
818-602-4929.
That's great.
I don't know what the letters for that would be.
No one's listening.
818-602-4929. They all listen to this show for Nikhil anyway.
I'm sure they don't. How about those losers?
Lakers.
So, Lakers are playing tonight. That's great. Any other things going on in the sports world for you, Mr. Pence?
My one-time Lord and Savior, RG3, was released.
Who told you that Cousins was better than RG3? Who was that?
Well,
who was that?
You called him Brady 2.0, which I'm not ready to give him that mantle yet.
That's a joke, by the way.
I'm not ready to give him that mantle.
That's a joke, by the way.
He's better. He's a better pocket passer. But I was also a huge Heath Shuler fan.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't think Gus Frat was going to beat him out. But Gus Frat did beat him out.
I'm
a sucker for the shiny, fast
guy. Want to tell people, I mean, I'm sure that you've told people before, but what's your team's name?
The Redskins.
Oh, the Redskins.
Hail to the Redskins.
Hail to the Redskins. You don't find that offensive?
No, I do not. I do not. And I'll tell you why.
Please.
Because if you walk into
Trump is on the floor. Go ahead.
If you walk into the bar and someone's like, hey, did you see those Redskins over there? No one turns around looking for Native Americans. They look around and go, where's John Riggins? Where's Gary Clark? No one associates it with this in this day and age with a racial slur.
You want to know why they don't? Because there's not a lot of Native Americans left.
That's not my fault.
That's not.
Look, I was. Look, I know. I can tell look, you why you. I know some people find it offensive. I totally understand people. I totally get that people find it offensive. I also know that there's also a lot of other Native Americans who do not find it offensive. So I don't. And those are the only people that can have the debate. Us white people, I don't think can have the debate.
Okay, so maybe next time on the show.
But I was in Alaska doing shows. Native American guy comes up to me. I have my redskin hat on. He points to it. All of a sudden, I'm like, okay, this is it. This is where I get punched in the face. This is Dustin was right about everything.
Because and I am always.
He points at my hat, and I go, oh, hey. And he pulls up his sleeve, and he has a huge redskin logo tattooed on his arm. And he says, go skins, and he walked away. Like, I just, like, I know some people find, I know some Native Americans find it offensive, and I know some that do not find it offensive. So it's like, how do you tell the ones that do not find it offensive, you're wrong, this is offensive?
Well, maybe it depends on what tribe you're from.
I guess. I don't know. I don't, because, I mean, I'm sure at some point the name will change. I know, I just, the way.
I know why you don't want it to change.
The way culture's going.
I know why you don't want it to change. It's what? Because every single piece of merchandise that you own.
No, it would be worth tons of money because it's all retro at that
trash.
Point. No, I'll still wear it. I'll still wear it.
You have to go but out I've to never, the NFL store and I've buy never, the new material.
I've never thought that until someone told me I should think that's racist. I never thought it was racist. As a little kid, I never even put it together, red skins. Like it was just Indians.
Well, I mean, one thing I will say about the culture today. And this is, you know, a white man, white-splaining, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. We're just two white guys.
We're just two white guys from the South that are talking about race. You know it's going to go real well.
It can't go well.
It's going to go real well. All I'm saying is
we don't know what it's like to live in a ghetto.
No, we don't.
We don't know what it's like
to
be poor.
No, we don't. But we might know what it's like to live in a trailer park. So all I can say is today's day and age is very PC.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's why I think the Redskin issue came up. I'm not a fan of it, personally, and I've made it known to you multiple times.
Multiple times
that I don't like it.
And you snuck it into this interview.
I totally did, after asking you what else is on your mind, and you started talking about them. But ultimately, Emily, yeah, I think that that's something that should be addressed. Same point in time, I think everybody is just so very touchy right now.
Yeah.
It's one thing if there's an unarmed person being shot by a cop.
Yeah.
And it's completely different for this situation. So I think the levels of PC-dom on all situations.
Yeah. I mean, I understand there's issues with that name, but I think as much attention that it gets, I think it needs to be pushed farther onto the back burner because there's far more stuff pressing right now. And I just feel like the more people dig their heels in on both sides of it, all it does is create more room for people like a Donald Trump to rise
Tension.
Up. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump probably likes the name.
Of course he does. Like, even if he doesn't, he will say he does because he knows that it's going to get certain people to back him.
He probably doesn't even know they exist.
No, he doesn't. What the hell does he give a shit? If it's not the Donald Trumps, he doesn't care.
Yeah, I think that's what he thinks the New York Giants are. The Probably. Giants are the Trumps.
It's a wonder he hasn't
huge.
Bought a team
they're
and called
huge.
Them. The huge.
The New York huge.
My penis is huge. That could be our leader.
Oh, my God. I hope not.
That's amazing.
I hope not.
It's so amazing.
That's terrible.
Huge. Huge mistake.
Yeah, hopefully the people listening, all zero of you, will not be voting for Donald Trump.
Who knows? It doesn't matter. It's all.
It's just, we're screwed.
Matter. We're screwed either way. It doesn't really matter.
We're screwed.
I don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, so where once again, if people want to check out Godzilla on funnierdie.com, see some of Dustin's great work, go to funnierdie.com, type in 34 Street Comedy in the search engine, and it'll pop up. He's got some funny stuff on there.
There's stuff on there. I don't know if you'll think it's funny. Some people did. They thought it was funny enough to put it on the front page.
If it got on the front page of Funny or Die, it turns some heads at Funny or Die. It's not easy to get on the front page of Funny or
no,
Die.
No, it's not, because I've made other things that have not gotten on the front page.
Yeah, but a lot of people made things to try to get on the front page of Funny or Die, and that's a difficult thing to do.
Hopefully the thing that I worked on with you and Jen and Wasto,
that'll be
hopefully that gets on there, too.
That'll get something.
I think it's got some play. I think it's got some legs. I was very fortunate to be a part of that.
Yeah, I had a hand in the script writing of it, so I think on paper it was funny. And I think what we pulled off on camera is funny. But we'll see when the finished product comes out.
Who wrote it?
Jen, I think, well, Jen, Cody, I think it's Cody Decker's
and
thing.
Cody Decker.
It's Cody Decker's idea. Yeah. And then I, Cody and Jen and I and Laquasto all sort of took a hand in.
I see. So when's this thing going to be released?
I don't know.
When do I get my PA credit?
I was talking to Jen today, and I think they're still trying to do some pickup stuff, and she's doing some voiceover stuff for it. But hopefully next few weeks, I'm thinking.
Interesting. Well, you got to get on that strike it while the iron's hot.
It'll help if Cody makes the Royals. That will really help.
Oh, wow. I hope Jen does not listen to this. If Jen heard that, she would smack your teeth.
No worries. She's not listening. If he makes the Royals, that's going to help. So.
Well, I mean, you know, he's hitting monster bombs, but I think that's kind of what he's doing.
But, you know.
That's what he always does. He hits home runs.
He's in the American League. He'd be the DH.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Why not?
I mean, at least, you know, coming off the bench as a pinch hitter, at least, you'd think.
Hopefully. Anyway, Dustin, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming in,
hey,
co-hosting,
man,
being a guest at the same time.
I can debate race with Eddie Pence.
We talked race. We talked politics. We talked wrestling. We talked sports.
We talked everything two white men could possibly talk about. Except, you know, we really didn't talk about the ladies much, since today
was International Women's Day.
Yeah, and you didn't get a guest.
We tried. Both of us tried to get women in
here. Yeah, but three women rejected me. That's how it goes.
I had Jenna try to get Sturger in here, and she had something else to do.
Yeah, of course. So, well, it might be.
It's kind of late notice to get people in.
Yeah,
because they're all doing International Women's Day stuff.
What would that be?
I don't know.
Let's get you into some real trouble.
Let's say something terrible.
What would that be, Eddie?
I don't know. I'm not going to say. I'm going to plead the fifth on that one.
What's your lady?
I could say something smart ass, but I'm not going to do that.
Do it.
No.
Is the lady listening?
No, she's not. Why would she listen? She hears me enough at home. Why she have to listen? She doesn't want to tune in to listen.
She'd totally say something that would totally offend her.
No, that wouldn't be hard. Oh, anyway. Ow, my back hurts.
There goes his back.
My back's hurting. Anyway, we got to go. Thank you guys for tuning in. For Dustin Jacobs. Eddie
Pence. You can follow me.
Follow. Oh, yeah, follow.
Yeah. Let's
Sorry
put ourselves
that.
Over,
put yourself
man.
Over. Put yourself over real quick.
You can follow me, Dustin_Jacobs, on Twitter. That's probably the best way to really get annoyed by me.
Yeah, let's get his followers up, everybody.
Yeah, at least one person.
One person.
I need one person to follow me.
You know what? I might unfollow you and then follow you just so you feel
You know
good.
What? I would feel so good, like my narcissism would go through the roof.
Anyway, so follow him, Dustin_Jacobs.
And if you really want to see some interesting photos, you should probably check out my Instagram, too.
How good is it? Was it the same thing? Dustin
no, it's not. Oh, it's it's just Dustin Jacobs.
Dustin
no
Jacobs on Instagram.
Yeah.
Do you have a website? You don't have a website, do you?
I do, actually.
Plug your website.
I got a website. It's got my reel on it. It's got some other things.
Does it have the launching points for all your social media?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Well, I should have done that.
We should have just done that from the beginning.
It is https://. No, it's www.dustinajacobs.com.
Good for you.
Thanks, pal.
And,
appreciate it.
Thanks again for coming in, Dustin. And tomorrow, listen to K-Rock, 7:30 in the morning. I'll be on air.
And hopefully Nikhil will be back next week to talk about his experience.
We'll see. Maybe I will.
With the LA Lakers. The losers.
Bye, everybody.